I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Carter Baines does a great job covering Oregon State for BeaverBlitz.com on Twitter as the Beavs get the upset win on Friday. We've discussed that now for the first half hour of the show, and Carter joins us now. Carter, thanks for hopping on with us, my man. What stuck out the most in Oregon State's win? What was the thing? I know there's many things, but what's the thing for you that stuck out the most about Oregon State and what they were able to do on Friday against the Ducks?
Man, it is really hard to pinpoint one thing. I look to the defense though for kind of that one thing that stood out the most, and it's the ability to make adjustments at halftime and come out and put together a game plan in the third and fourth quarter just to shut down opposing offenses. That's kind of been the story throughout the first four games, really, is they kind of come out slow, give up a bunch of easy drives and easy points to start the game, but then Coach Tibisar and the players get together at halftime and they figure it out. And that was the difference in the game, really, was, you know, Tyler Shuck had a tough time moving the ball in the second half and the offense was able to capitalize. But I think that just kind of speaks to not only the coaching ability, but really just the heart and fight of this team. I have not seen an Oregon State team with this much fight in it in a long time.
Yeah, they had it in the second half and the fourth quarter. There's no doubt about that. I hate to ask a cliche question, but it's kind of hard not to after that performance on Friday. Where does Jamar Jefferson rank amongst Oregon State running backs? He bursts onto the scene as a freshman, 1,300 yards, turned some heads. Last year, kind of slipped into the background a little bit, dealt with some injuries. But this year, I mean, he's almost topped his rushing total from last year through four games. He's almost matched his touchdown total. He's almost at 700 yards, basically, through four games. It's remarkable. Where does he rank all time at Oregon State? Because I'm just amazed watching him.
Well, statistically, he's number five now all time, and I think by the time he's done, he's going to be pretty close to number one. And I really hope for Oregon State's, you know, perspective, I hope he comes back for another year. And for him, you know, maybe chasing the money and going pro, you know, the shelf life of a running back isn't that great. But for Oregon State, man, it would just be so nice for him to come back and get a chance to climb the all-time ranking there, because statistically, like I said, number five, but after a performance like that in such a big spot, and he really just firmly cemented himself as a legend, I think, in Oregon State history.
Yeah, Carter Baines, our guest here, BeaverBlitz.com. Now, you just got off of the press conference with Jonathan Smith. What did he say about Tristan Jebbia, who played pretty well in the second half and helped get that win, unfortunately suffered that injury at the goal line? What's the update with Jebbia?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not great. Smith said after the game that he thought he would be okay, but today he said after a little bit of more testing and everything, sounds like it's a little more significant than they had originally thought. And so Smith was optimistic that they'd be able to kind of get him going a bit, and they're hopeful he can play this weekend. But really, after seeing the way that he limped off the field and watching him down there on crutches, it really doesn't look good. And to be honest with you, I would be surprised if we saw him again this season.
Wow. Would it be Chance Nolan then filling in for him?
Yeah, Chance Nolan, we saw him obviously come in for that last play. He is the backup quarterback. It's not Jack Coletto, even though he comes in a lot. Chance Nolan is the backup. He gets a lot of reps with the first team. So I fully expect to see Nolan this week against Utah.
How does that, if at all, change the thought on where the season goes from here? Because this is a huge win, the biggest win for Jonathan Smith. All the momentum is in that program right now. But you go to Utah, it's a tough game. They look better this last weekend in Seattle. You close with Stanford, which you never know quite what to make of Stanford. How does it change, if at all, just kind of where you think their season finishes up?
No, I think this team still has a lot of potential, even with Nolan back there. I know he doesn't have a whole lot of experience here at the FBS level, but if you go back and watch his tape from Saddleback College, man, this kid can play. You know, he can do it with his arm, he can do it with his legs, and he's going to bring kind of that element to this offense that, well, we thought Jebbia as a mobile quarterback would bring kind of that dual threat element to the offense, but Nolan does so even more so. And that's going to be kind of exciting, I think, for this offense. Jonathan Smith said today that the offense wouldn't really change a whole lot. They're going to still come in with the same game plan, run the same plays, but that ability to make stuff happen really in all elements with Chance Nolan is going to be exciting to watch.
There we go. Carter Baines, BeaverBlitz.com. Give him a follow on Twitter. You got a damn podcast episode coming out?
Yep, we're recording it right after this, actually.
There we go. All right, look for that one, BeaverBlitz.com. Carter, thanks for hopping on, man. Good coverage on the game, and we'll catch up soon.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. There we go. Now let's get the Oregon side of things here from Tyson Alger of The Athletic, Duck beat writer, as they fall in Corvallis. Two touchdown favorites, Tyson. What do you think went wrong for the Ducks?
They can't stop the run, and turns out Oregon State has an awfully good running back. I mean, I wish I could give you guys something more like complicated than that, but I mean, we all watched that game. Like, it was, you know, if you go and look back at like the 2016 Oregon Ducks, like, we all knew that team had just a terrible pass defense, and anytime they played a good quarterback, it was going to be bad. And now it's kind of looking like we have the inverse, because Oregon's defensive line just gets zero push up front, especially in the middle, which is pretty surprising considering that, like, all of those guys are veterans, like Jordan Scott, Kayvon Thibodeau, Austin Value. It's perplexing, guys. I don't understand it.
Yeah, what's the staff saying? Because I feel like there's two different arguments being made about Oregon right now. This is proof that they're not as good as people thought, and, you know, we're overrating Cristobal. And then the other one is, well, look at everybody that opted out. How can they be good with all the players that they lost and are deciding not to play, especially on defense? Like, I didn't expect them to be good defensively, but watching them be this bad, I don't know how to wrap my head around. Are the coaches or players, like, given any explanation of why this is happening?
Man, I get the feeling that they're trying to figure this out too. And that's what makes this season so hard, is like, you don't have like the typical cadence of a 12 game schedule to like get things figured out, or, you know, you don't have like a nice, like, 3-game lull in a schedule where you maybe have some weaker opponents coming in to get better at tackling or to get better at coverages, and I think with Oregon, like, it can be a combination of the two. Like, I thought this defense was still going to be good. Like, there's a lot of talent there, but I mean, I think a lot of us, including myself, were maybe being a little too overestimated the impact that losing three guys in the secondary could do, especially a guy like Holland in the nickel, who could play so well, like, was so good at playing both against the run and the pass. And so I think it's a mixture of those things. Like, obviously physical conditioning might come into play too, but then again, every team in the conference has had the same opportunities to do that. But it's pretty perplexing, because in the preseason, I actually picked Oregon to go 5-1 with a loss at Oregon State. Now, I can't really get a whole lot of credit for that, because I hedged on that in the week leading up to it. But my whole theory was Oregon's defense was going to be good enough to carry the Ducks while the offense figured things out. But it's been the complete inverse for them.
You know, Tyson, first of all, you should have never hedged your bet, because you would have been a damn prophet if you stuck to that. What do you think? What have you made so far of Tyler Shuck? You know, it's first year. COVID year is kind of weird, so it's really hard to hammer and go in depth of what to believe is the truth. But this is the year we've been given. So with the sample size of a few games now, not as great as second half, kind of struggled there a bit. What have you made of Tyler Shuck as the quarterback for the Ducks so far?
like this might not appease the pitchfork crowd, but like I think Tyler Shuck's been fine. Like he's had a couple mistakes, like those interceptions are getting a little out of hand, but like coming into that game, he was ranked within the top 10 in the nation in QBR, I believe. Like this is a kid who's that was his fourth career start. It was his fourth start against a conference team. He's had receivers come in and out all season. I mean, Micah Pittman was supposed to be a starter. He's been up and down. They've had, it's been a rotation through the tight ends. And like, I really like what he's doing in the running game. Like I expected Chuck to make mistakes this year, and I still think he's better than what I thought he was going to be coming into the season. I just think that when you only have six games, everything's magnified. So when he does throw two picks in a game like that, and especially when you end up losing to your rival, it's going to be dissected a ton. But I don't know. Like he's not perfect. Like he holds onto the ball a little long, and he doesn't quite have the zip on his throws that Herbert did. And so like you've seen him try to force a couple throws in the coverage that just don't have the oomph to get in there. But I don't think quarterback play is what is costing this team. I think that if you were to tell Oregon fans coming into the season, you'd score 35 plus points in all four of your first games, like they'd be over the moon about that.
That's a good point. How dare you tell me to put my pitchfork away, though? Damn it, Tyson. Where do you think they go from here? Kind of bad games that they end up winning the first two. They're very fortunate to beat UCLA. Not a great performance on Friday against Oregon State. Now you got Cal and you got Washington to finish out the season. How do you think it goes?
You know, I think a lot of people had Cal as like a sneaky game for them coming into the year. Boy, Cal is just free falling. Like I think the Ducks should respond well to that. They've traditionally responded well after losses under Cristobal so far. I mean, they had that shocker against Arizona State last year and came back with the Oregon State game, and then just smashed Utah in the Pac-12 title game. So they still have a carrot in front of them in the fact that they can reach the Pac-12 title game. Cal should be a nice warm up for Washington is looking awfully tough, guys. Like I know they had a real bad first half against Utah there, but that's a team that can put up some points. They're talented. I think that will be a really fun game to end of the year.
Well, he learned a valuable lesson. Do not hedge the bet, but he still predicted it preseason, so we give him credit on this show. Tyson Alger, the Athletic Duck beat writer, does a great job on Twitter at Tyson Alger. Tyson, thanks so much for hopping on, my man. Good info, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Never hedge, guys. Never hedge.
There we go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.